You're listening to the Orlando Magic Podcast, hosted by Stephen Garlick and Andy Harrington. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Orlando Magic Podcast. I'm Stephen Garlick. Alongside me is Andy Harrington. And Andy, big question for you. So you're in a close basketball game. You're headed into halftime. What's your go-to snack to energize you for the second half?
My go-to snack. You know what? I'm a Yoo-hoo guy. And so I get into that locker room. I want a nice cold glass of Yoo-hoo. But, you know, it's got to be with like 3 ice cubes and a nice little bendy straw. And I'm more a fan of like the red bendy straw. The blue just doesn't do it for me. It's got to be the red bendy straw with the Yoo-hoo with the 3 ice. That just does it for me. I don't know what it is, but I come out specific. And I know I'm gonna dominate the second half.
Wow. So you like chocolate water? That's cool. All right. Well, very interesting start to this episode. He just took it there, folks. Definitely interesting snack there. So yeah, everyone go drink a Yoo-hoo for Andy.
Yeah. You asked.
All right, so we're a day late. We kind of had a feeling something would be happening, and something did happen. Andy will cover that here in a moment, as well as we watched Game of Thrones. I won't say what happened, but yeah, my Sundays are now filled with Game of Thrones predictions and content. Some exciting news for our fans. So real quick, before we dive into this episode and talk about everything Magic, I would like to have you all just pause this episode, go like, retweet, share, leave us a review on iTunes, whatever it takes. Get our name out there because we've got some good stuff coming down the pipeline and we're going to need all your help to make it happen. We just got to get our name out there and definitely keep that momentum going. So definitely keep listening and sharing it and helping us out in any way you can. But let's dive right into everything Magic now. Andy, take us through the Magic's week. Go.
Yeah, so this week, since our podcast with Phil last week, we definitely have had some things break. You know, of course, we had Aaron Aflalo and Mo Spates sign on last week. But we kind of talked about them already. This week, we had Kim Birch officially finally getting his contract with the Magic. He left his team in Europe, which he was making $3 million there, and he left for a non-guaranteed contract with the Magic. You know, the opportunity for the NBA came up. He just decided to, it was time. And then we waived Marcus Georges-Hunt, who was also non-guaranteed, so no cap hit there. Supposedly, I'm guessing Patricio Guerrero is going to be next. Also unguaranteed. Mario Hezonja is officially not playing for Croatia in Eurobasket, so he's going to be staying here this offseason. But Fournier and Vucevic are going to be playing for their countries in Eurobasket, so we'll keep an eye on them. And jersey update. So we haven't had the official release of all the jerseys yet, but we do know one thing, that the black pinstripes, the retros, are coming back this season. And I know I'm excited.
That's the most important thing that's happened this offseason.
This is it. This is it. Yeah. nothing else compares to that.
No, so real quick, you know, just with those few news headlines, what kind of stuck out to you the most?
I mean, obviously, Marcus Georges-Hunt is, you know, kind of was a little bit of probably the unexpected news that came out, that we're releasing him so early and waiving him. But I imagine it was probably just because, you know, he had something else in place and we were doing him a favor. Maybe he had a Euro deal in place or something like that, more money. Yeah. And so we let him go probably because, you know, we're getting pretty full. I think we have 14 guaranteed contracts right now. So, and plus with Birch coming on now, that would make 15, if he makes the team. So to me, that was probably the most, surprising thing, I guess.
The thing I take away from that is I love that Hezonja is not playing Eurobasket.
Yeah, that's the other.
I think that's great. He has zero distractions, and that's exactly what we need out of Mario. So honestly, that's the biggest thing I took out of those headlines. So definitely a good thing there.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so who are we going to give our two-way slots to? Any projections?
Yeah.
Any guys you've seen Summer League? Maybe some guys out there in the G League now?
Yeah, overseas. So what happens is that the Magic have 15 contracts that they can offer up to the players that can have during the entire season. Plus, now in the new CBA, they can have two what are called two-way contracts they can offer to players that split their time in the G League and in the NBA. And so what I think they should do with this is definitely wait until training camp is actually over, see who gets cut from where, and then go after those guys that they think maybe, you know, got cut unfairly or, you know, a good value there, and grab that guy from another team or somebody that they like that they're going to bring in through training camp. I think that's what's probably going to happen. But, you know, there's guys out there that, like, a Diamond Stone that just got cut from the Clippers, somebody like that they could go after.
I know Joe Ingles, what, 2-3 years ago was that guy. Clippers
yep.
cut him, Jazz pick him up, and that's an asset. That's exactly yeah. what the Magic need to do is, I think, definitely stay patient with those two-way contracts because, like you said, there's always, you know, those guys who maybe just don't shake out, maybe don't quite crack the rotation of the teams they're, you know, on with during training camp. So I do think that's very smart on that aspect. But yeah, Diamond Stone, I did not see that one. That was kind of surprising as well. So
yeah, he was a pretty high prospect.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's somebody that you might take a look at and see if you can't develop him a little bit more, create an asset, or at least just give him time in Lakeland to see what he can do.
Yeah. All right. Well, interesting. That's some good stuff right there.
Yeah. So, Steve, I have a weird question for you. Okay. Right. So here we go. Let's just dive right in. Okay. Because we don't have tons of content today. You know, because it's the off season. We're getting into that August period now, where there is absolutely no NBA stuff. So here, I've just been thinking about this for the last week or so. I'm thinking about a lineup to go against Golden State's death lineup. Okay. So
that's Steph Curry.
We're talking Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Iguodala, Durant, and Draymond Green. That's their quote unquote death lineup.
So the West All-Star team.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. And so if you're Frank Vogel and with the Magic, you're playing Golden State, you're tied, somehow you're tied at the end of the game trying to say...
Hey! Moral victory right there.
Yeah, if you're tied with Golden State at the end of the game, then yeah, it's a win. But so it's tied. Golden State has the ball. 10 seconds left in the game. You're Frank Vogel. Who do you put in to guard the death lineup with 10 seconds left in the game?
Interesting. So, Steph, I think you've got to put in... Oh, man. I don't like Elfrid Payton in this situation.
Okay.
Against this backcourt whatsoever with 10 seconds left.
Okay.
I think we talked about that on our last podcast with Philip. He just does not work his way around screens, and I know you're definitely observant of that every single time.
Yep.
So I know you'd agree with that one. So
I do.
I think you go maybe Jonathan Simmons.
Okay, so you have Jonathan Simmons guarding Steph Curry.
Steph Curry.
Okay, I like that. That's what I would do too.
Okay.
And then Klay Thompson, who are you going to put on Klay Thompson to stop the ball screens? He's going to be coming off of tons of screens.
Okay, okay.
Who do you want dodging those screens?
I think I know who you think I'm picking, but since I coached basketball.
Okay.
How many timeouts do I have?
I think the new rules are you have you get limited to like 2 timeouts or something like that under 2 minutes or something like that.
Okay,
so say you have
none. I have none.
Okay, you have no timeouts in this situation.
All right, so then I'm playing Fournier.
Okay, interesting.
Then
okay,
I'm gonna go. Let's go. Ross.
Ross at the three to guard Iguodala or Durant?
Iguodala.
Okay.
Then Aaron Gordon's guarding Durant.
Okay.
And then my boy, he's not really my boy yet.
Okay. All right.
He's going to guard the one and only Draymond.
Wait, who's your boy? You didn't say who your boy was. Is it Biombo? Is it Kim Birch?
You know who it is.
I'm assuming you're talking about...
Mo Spates. Okay, no. But Mo Spates, though, if I did have to have, a homie on this team, it's Mo Spates.
That's
but
true.
I'm going to go with Jonathan Isaac here, just for his versatility, how he could guard Draymond. And during this little 10 seconds of trying to attempt to stop this, I'm going to let Draymond shoot that shot, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then that's why Fournier is on the floor, because I'm going to run down... put the ball in Fournier's hands, and I'm going to let him shoot and win the game. So,
interesting. 10 seconds.
Definitely let management know my resume, coaching resume is there.
Okay, I like it. I like it. I would agree with that
just a
lineup.
Quick outlet with Fournier if you get the rebound, hurry and just run down the court.
Yeah, I like that. That's probably the same lineup I would use actually. That's what I call I think it's our wing of death, something like
so
that.
You would still use Fournier.
I think I would put as many wings with length out there as possible.
Yeah.
And, that's probably, unless you wanted to bring in Iwundu or something like that. But I'm not going to put him out there with an inexperienced guy, but
again, in the coaching, if they miss a shot, you have to go for the win right there. Cause if you're going to overtime, I don't know what happened in this game to make it tied, but
yeah, the only probably debatable part is maybe taking Fournier out of the picture and putting Biombo in at the five and sliding Isaac down to guard Durant, something like that. And then taking Fournier out of the picture and sliding Ross there to guard Klay Thompson.
Gordon's guarding Iguodala.
Yeah, Gordon could guard, whoever. Gordon could guard Klay Thompson too. He's good at coming.
Yeah.
At guarding around
screens. you could throw some there, but I do think though, if that was ever, the situation, you definitely have to have somebody in there who you can hurry and toss the ball. That's why I like Fournier, is because you're going for the win.
Yeah.
Transition.
I assume in the situation somebody's gonna be taking a last second shot that you're not gonna get the ball back. But you never know. You never know. You gotta put that coaching hat on.
Yeah. So no, that's a very interesting question. And this episode of our podcast is going to be interesting because we've come up with scenarios where we're just going to just paint a picture for each other and we're going to talk ourselves through it. We have nothing scripted whatsoever going into this. So
this is
going to
be fun.
Interesting.
This is going to be fun.
So we've created a few hypotheticals that neither one of us have really seen, but we're just going to present them to each other and both talk through them. And then hopefully get some heated debate going, and then hopefully we leave here really mad at each other.
That's what I hope too, Steve. I want to be really mad at you at the end of this podcast. So
hopefully our blood pressure reaches dangerous levels.
That sounds like a good time to me.
All right, let's do it. So
okay,
all right, what do you got first?
Let's see here. So. Let's start off with the kind of the big news in the NBA right now that's going around. The only real interesting thing going on right now in the dead of, this August, whatever.
This crazy offseason.
Yeah, this is probably the craziest offseason I have ever seen in the NBA. This has been nuts. Anyways, Kyrie Irving.
By the boy. I'm just kidding.
You are the boy. Everyone is Steve's boy. Anyways, realistically... the Magic probably won't get Kyrie Irving.
Right.
But a lot of people are also saying that they wouldn't give up player X or player Y for Kyrie.
On the Magic.
On the Magic, yes, okay. Correct. So, and the Magic. So a lot of fans say, I wouldn't give up Gordon. I wouldn't give up Isaac for 2 years of Kyrie Irving because he wouldn't stay, yada, yada, yada. And so I want to say If the chance is there and say the Cavs are willing to wheel and deal with you, what would you give up for Kyrie Irving on the Magic? And what do you think it would take?
Honestly, My opinion on this has not changed since I found out. Anyone on this Magic team is up for grabs for Kyrie Irving. I know that's like a really crazy take because we're rebuilding or whatever, but to get a top 15 player like Kyrie at his position in his prime, and we'd be giving up a few assets. I do know they've been asking for what, a veteran player, a decent veteran player.
Yeah.
A player on his rookie contract as well as a first rounder. Is that correct?
Yeah, first round pick.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going pick Gordon or Isaac.
Okay.
Because, again, you got to think of it in terms of, and I know we had mentioned this, you know, in a conversation previously, you got to think of it as the sixth pick. You can't think of it as Isaac.
Yeah, okay.
As the sixth pick or Aaron Gordon, they can have one or the other.
Well, let's be realistic. If the Magic have a shot at one of those, at Kyrie, they have to part with either Gordon or Isaac. Yeah. I don't think
that's
going to piece of, they're not going to outbid other teams right now, like Phoenix or Denver.
No.
Without putting in a Gordon or Isaac.
No. So Gordon or Isaac's part of this package. They, not both, just one or the other. And then I'm giving them a choice of any other player on this roster. Any other player on this roster, their pick. Go ahead.
Not Gordon and Isaac.
Not Gordon and Isaac.
Okay.
But there is a scenario where I'd even consider both that. I mean.
Wow.
Kyrie, because here's my thing. You're going to get Kyrie for 2 seasons.
Right.
And yes, there is a risk of him leaving, but this is a star league. You want a star on your team. You want an identity. You want a guy you can play. And Kyrie would bring such a great thing to Orlando. I mean, having a star on this basketball team again would be really fun to watch. So I think, one, he would attract other free agents. I think, you know, those wings and centers in this next free agent class would definitely be a little bit more prone to actually visiting with the Orlando Magic if Kyrie Irving's, you know, running the show here. So I definitely think you would give up for Kyrie Irving. Granted, if I'm throwing Isaac and Gordon in a deal, I am not including any picks whatsoever in that trade. But I do think you could pull off maybe an Isaac or Gordon, a veteran, and maybe a pick. And if that was if they were even, you know, sitting on the fence, I'd even maybe throw in a future protected pick as well.
Wow. Okay. That I mean,
Kyrie
that's,
Irving, you're getting a top 15 player.
I am a huge Kyrie Irving. I love Kyrie Irving, and I think as well. I'm kind of with Steve on this one. I think you give up a lot to get a guy like Kyrie Irving, and I think I would do it too. I've always been on board with bringing in a star, because this league really is star driven, and you need a star to attract other stars. And that's kind of how teams build nowadays is, you know, rarely, you know, you can build through the draft. You can do that and through free agency, but it is very hard to build through free agency any other way besides the draft if you don't have a star on your team already to attract other stars.
Because if I'm a star, Andy, who's calling me up on this Magic team getting me excited to sign a contract?
Frank Vogel?
Look, no, honest,
I don't know.
Answer to that is Weltman and Hammond.
Yeah.
I had a relationship, Giannis, when he's, you know, a free agent, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Giannis has a lot of pull over here, like when he's becomes a free agent. Mm-hmm. And if you have a guy like Kyrie in place when Giannis becomes a free agent and you have, you know, a Weltman and a Hammond, the two guys that went after and drafted him.
And I mean, believed in him.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing.
Yeah.
I mean, so really, I think, you know, you've got to pull the trigger. If you've got an opportunity to get a guy in his prime, think about that. You do not have to really develop Kyrie. He's been at
the
top.
Your guy.
He knows what it takes to play. Everyone says, well, he wasn't going to the playoffs, you know, before LeBron got there. My argument to that is, injury history was one thing. Two, he was a young player. Look at all the developing teams in the NBA right now. They're going through growing pains. He had to go through his growing pains, but now he knows how to play. He knows what it takes to win on that level, and I think you'd be getting a really good player.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing. when you're thinking about the guys that you have on your team already, and the best case scenario for those guys, right now Isaac is the guy that you're like, okay, this guy could be the best player on our team. He's the best guy that we've had on our team possibly in the last 5 years.
Right.
So you kind of don't want to touch him because he has, you know, his potential's through the roof at this point. But Aaron Gordon, you know, what is the best case scenario for Aaron Gordon at this point? Is it a top 50 player maybe? Is that his best case scenario at this point? You know, is it a fringe all-star? I just don't know. You know, if you have a shot at a guy that's already established in a top 15, you know, top 5 point guard in the league, I mean, I don't know. That's who you want these guys to develop to become. And so if you have a shot at getting one of those guys for assets, you know, that are unequal value, basically, you know, if you're trading a Vucevic and a Gordon and, you know, a pick or two for a superstar, I mean, I think you take that chance. I think you take the risk almost, you know, and grab Kyrie. I think you'd be dumb not to, honestly.
Yeah, because I would feel sick to my stomach knowing another team got him for less. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
if the Suns get him for Bledsoe and a first,
that's ridiculous.
I mean, you tell me you can't beat that offer?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's what they need to do, and I think Kyrie's worth it. I also love this is kind of just an NBA side note. I love that Kyrie just wants to be the alpha dog for a team. What happened to those days when it wasn't about, you know, joining mega teams and all this? Like, I just really like the fact that he wants to, you know, join and create, you know,
his own legacy.
Yeah. He wants to just be the guy. I respect that completely. I know a lot of people are hating that.
For sure.
But
yeah.
All right. So
yeah, now let's go on to the next one.
Now my question to you. All right. So what do the Magic do if at the trade deadline the Magic are underperforming? And by underperforming, I mean, let's say a repeat of last year.
Okay, so if they're just like if they're like not in the playoff race even at all?
Really no improvement. I mean, players might be putting up a tad better lines just because they're playing in the right position, also known as Aaron Gordon. But let's say that the record has not shown. So
okay,
things have not gelled. Things have not worked out to this point. What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, at the trade deadline anyways, I think we need to be very active in trading and trying to clear people out. And kind of at that point, I think management will kind of know what's working and what's not working. So basically, you know, you kind of just kind of take a step back and say, all right, well, what's really not working? Is it Elfrid Payton? Is it the lack of shooting on the team? Is it the lack of a go-to scorer on the team? And you say, okay, well, how do we get that then? And look to next year and say, okay, this is kind of another lost year. It's a development year. So you open up, if you need to open up cap room, trade for future assets, something, you know, trade Biombo, trade, you know, Augustine, you know, whatever you have to do to kind of prepare for next year. Because if we're already lost at the trade deadline, kind of the all-star break, you know, there's really, you know, you kind of have to hit the mini reset, I think, a little bit and kind of rethink the structure of this team, kind of keep those core pieces, maybe keep Gordon or Isaac or whoever's really producing, because this is, like we've talked about, this is the prove it time. And I think the beginning of this year until the All-Star break is really when you have to prove it to management that you belong on the team. And so if you don't, I think you might be packing your bags.
Yeah. I completely agree. I think if this team's underperforming, you throw a freaking yard sale at the trade deadline. Everybody's for the taking. The only people who would definitely be considered, you know, untradeable potentially would be Jonathan Isaac at that point, because hopefully you still feel unsure about what you have. And then at that point, I would full on give him minutes at the five for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Let him start developing into that a new aged center that is going to take over this league and be a hybrid and can play basically any position. That's what I would do.
Yeah, just kind of just youth movement after the All-Star break, basically.
And stick to it. And then that leads me to a follow-up question.
Okay.
I know we're going out of pattern here.
All right, let's just do it. Let's get, let's go.
So if the Magic miss out on the playoffs, or let's say they're underperforming, like I just said, where do you stand with Frank Vogel? So let's say they underperform, you get to the trade deadline, and he does not embrace the youth movement. He still tries to win games for whatever reason.
I mean, for some reason, I think Vogel was almost already on the hot seat with Weltman and Hammond. For some reason, I don't know why I get that feeling, but I just feel like Vogel and them aren't on the same page almost. And that Vogel is just really just is a win now kind of guy. And Weltman and Hammond are very much developmental. They have that development kind of repertoire. You know, they love to develop young guys and to kind of build from the ground up. And Frank Vogel doesn't seem, you know, to be, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I kind of feel like that way in interviews and things like that. But I think Frank Vogel is a very good coach, but there is something to his development, his player development model, and I think he should get another chance. I think next year, give him this year, first year with management and with this team, and then after they make all the moves, which I think they're going to make at the trade deadline, hopefully, I don't know, but I think you give Frank Vogel another year still, even if they're underperforming. It basically, after my babbling, that's what I think.
Okay. No, I agree. I use this analogy. If anyone's, you know, worked a job and you were hired under a manager who left and they bring in new management or a new boss or whatever, that awkward feeling of getting on the same page or in sync of like what your expectations are, you know, what they truly think of you. It's just that awkward feeling of, you know, filling someone out and communicating and building that relationship, like what you said. So I think that's kind of the period they're in. And I think what's going to be interesting is to see the body language, you know, through adversity of how Frank Vogel looks, you know, when they're going through those, you know, growth spurts. Because there's quite a few guys on this roster who need to come in and kind of gel with the people of last year. You got to kind of, you know.
We'll see how gray his beard is by the end of the season if he keeps his beard. You know,
look like Popovich.
Probably, especially if Hezonja is playing a lot of minutes.
Gandalf the Gray. No, I mean it'll be interesting, and I think you're going to see his demeanor change, based on if you think he has a good relationship with management or not. Like if he feels like he has good, you know, a good relationship, I think he'll still be upbeat and positive and working. If he doesn't, I think once that adversity hits, I think you're going to see kind of a stressed out, worried coach. Or maybe he kind of just takes a back seat at that point and goes, hey, you know what? I'm going to win just so, you know, pride, basically. So I don't know. I do get the vibe that this is not their guy, though. From the outside looking in, I do not feel like Frank Vogel is Hammond and Weltman's guy. And
yeah, normally, like when you
feel like Vogel even knows that.
Yeah, like in their initial press conferences when they were introduced, they just like they're like, yeah, we've heard Frank Vogel's a good coach. You know, that's it. You know, they weren't
talk to him.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like I don't know. They weren't like raving about Frank Vogel. Like, oh, he's a great coach. We're excited to work with him. He's one of the best defensive minds in the league. Like, there was none of that. It was just, yeah, you know, we'll see how it goes. Kind of just like, yeah, we'll just
see if we like him.
We're going to sit and evaluate and watch
everything.
Vogel. Yeah, everybody.
Interesting. Well, that's good to know.
Okay. All right. So, my question to you, Steve, is what if Elfrid Payton shows a little bit more promise this season? What if he kind of shows flashes of like being a legit starting point guard in this league? What do you do?
Okay, so I guess my own benchmarks in my head, is he shooting the ball well?
Yeah, say he's shooting at a 33 to 35% from the three, showing a decent improvement from the three.
Okay, well, my opinion doesn't change.
Okay,
that's what I'm gonna say, because I, with restricted free agency now, I take the ceiling off and I make another team come after him and dictate how much I need to pay Elfrid Payton. Because look at Alex Len for the Suns. Yes, he's a center, but he has deficiencies in his game. And he didn't make the progress that people were really anticipating, being such a high draft pick. No one's given him an offer sheet. Nerlens Noel. No one's given
Jermichael
him
Green.
Jermichael Green. Mm-hmm. So people are starting to realize the game of restricted free agency. So I think the Magic need to play that game with Elfrid Payton. The one person who I do think could possibly get a deal done before, restricted free agency is Aaron Gordon. But that's just based off of, maybe potentially creating a trade piece.
If they get a team-friendly deal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think it's in favor of both parties,
right,
for Aaron Gordon to go to restricted free agency.
Mm-hmm.
Elfrid Payton, that's going to be interesting, but I would not even give him a team-friendly deal. I would literally make him play consistent basketball for an entire 82 games.
And it's very interesting, too, because next year's free agent class is very strong.
Loaded.
And so I think that's going to work against them as well. Which, do you think that will make them reconsider maybe taking a team-friendly deal right now? You think, seeing the restricted free agent market and how it is, like for a Nerlens and for an Alex Len... these guys that are really good NBA players, but they do have deficiencies. Do you think Elfrid Payton considers like taking?
If I'm an agent, I may go. If I'm the agent for Elfrid Payton, I may go for like a year and an option year, like a 2-year contract essentially, and just kind of get that security, blanket
for him.
Because. Look,
flops next year, if he flop tops next year.
Yeah. So, I mean, really,
hair the Magic. Joke. Sorry, guys.
I think the Magic hold all the cards with Elfrid Payton. Now, Aaron Gordon is an interesting one because I do think there's enough there. I think we've seen the kind of player he could be and kind of seen at least a decent progress with him.
Are you worried about a Tim Hardaway Jr. kind of situation? Saying somebody like the Nets, somebody like...
Look, if they're in the East and they want to pay that much money and you weren't fully ready to match anything that came your way, then I don't think you really wanted that player to begin with. And you just handicapped another team. You just Bismack Biyombo'd another team.
Oh, wow. Wow. Is that a Hennigan burn? Or Magic or self burning?
No, but I mean, really, that's what you're doing. And so, I mean, Hardaway Jr., I don't think he's a terrible player like everyone thinks he is, but I do think they definitely overpaid for him and Ron Baker. So,
they sure
that
did.
That was ridiculous.
They did. That was a lot of money to spend on those guys.
After Noah and Rose, last year.
Oh man, they have Noah's contract and Tim Hardaway Jr.'s contract. And Tim Baker. Oh, my gosh.
Ron Baker.
Oh, sorry. Ron Baker, not Tim Baker. I don't know who Tim Baker is.
Ron Baker, though. He's a good player.
He is. He's a decent player. I don't know.
But, yeah, it'll be... Yeah, I would just let the market dictate. And if you're not fully invested in that player, at least you handcuffed some other organization in the NBA. And once the Magic trade for Kyrie and get him on this team... then we can really make some cool free agent moves. Did you like what I did there?
I kind of did. It was
sales is on my resume, by the way.
I know that's so, assume the that was for, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. We can always dream. But so, Elfrid Payton, how much money do you think Elfrid Payton would get offered in restricted free agency from a team? You think it'd be like over $10 million?
He's a backup point guard.
Yeah, how much are you gonna pay? Like, you pay him Shelvin Mack money?
Shelvin Mack probably. He's looking at the $6 million range right now.
Wow.
Unless he makes significant improvements to his game and can show that he can hit the three at a consistent rate to where at least teams have to game plan that he could hit a three.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sagging off a point guard, like, that just doesn't... Welcome to 2017. Like, you can't...
Yeah.
You can't get by with not having a jump shot, a consistent jump shot that makes defenses, you know, have to move to you.
Right, right. So, if you're the Magic and you offer Elford, like, an extension of, like kind of like a Terrence Ross contract, just, like, 3 years, $30 million, would you even...
To Elford?
Yeah.
No.
No? You wouldn't even do that?
No.
That's too much.
I let the market dictate.
I would too, for sure. I think it's the smart move, and I think that's what they're going to do.
Gordon is the only out of those two who I would slightly, you know, flirt with the idea of getting a team-friendly deal done before, you know, things get crazy.
And even with that, like, it's... I mean, you have to be very careful with the restricted free agent market too, because it can bite you in the butt. Because, you know, those restricted free agents that are coming up, too, there's maybe not a whole bunch of them, so teams could be looking to handicap you as well. And, you know, because Aaron Gordon might be one of the best restricted free agents out there. So, you know, teams might be willing to just say, hey, we know that the Magic are going to match anyways.
And look how many young, athletic, defensive bigs have not been even offered an offer sheet.
Yeah,
look at Nerlens Noel.
Yeah, I think we'll see. Yeah, I think we'll kind of see what happens with Nerlens. Might be an indication of what might happen with Aaron Gordon.
Again, if I'm their agents, I'm sweating and I don't feel good about the situation. So, that's that.
It's messy.
All right, so we gotta hurry along here. Okay, and what's the worst case scenario for this team and the best case scenario? Let's go worst case. So let's think about...
Oh, geez.
Worst case is, I think, one, the pieces don't work.
Yeah.
You find your team not gelling. You find definitely a lack of communication from coaching to players. And not only that, but you're not active at the trade deadline. There's no movement. And you still don't play these young guys, Jonathan Isaac, exclusively. That is the worst case scenario, and we go into next year literally the same feeling as we did, you know, ending this last year. That's my worst case scenario.
My worst case scenario is that we don't see any improvement from any of our players. That is honestly, that's the worst thing that could happen in my eyes, is that we just don't see anyone take the leap this year. We don't see anyone, you know, make improvements to their game, make themselves more valuable on the trade market. I just think if the development's not there this year, then, you know, we're moving nowhere, because this team, we know kind of, you know, at least the starting lineup, the core that is staying together, we know what they are kind of already. You know, we kind of know what Elfrid Payton, we kind of know what Aaron Gordon is. You know, he might have another level to his game, and we all kind of hope he does. But, you know, if they don't make those improvements and they don't gel together, then, you know, then we kind of already know what our team's going to be. We're, you know, we're a fringe playoff team at best. If we don't improve. And
what's your best case scenario?
The best case scenario is the complete opposite. If, you know, if everyone kind of,
everyone develops,
everyone improves something on their game. Everyone kind of gels, buys into Frank Vogel's system. The defense finally clicks like it kind of did the beginning of last year. So we, you know, because I think that's what will separate us from other teams is the defense and the versatility on the wings. And so if that meshes and gels, and we can, you know, grab a late playoff seed and see tons of improvement from guys, you know, and they build up their value, and you know, we make a couple trades for, you know, I mean, obviously best case scenario might include Kyrie Irving, but I don't know.
Oh, it is.
Oh, yeah, probably. So
sources have confirmed to me.
Sources have confirmed that the best case scenario would include Kyrie Irving.
The basketball gods have let me know. So, no, I mean, best case scenario, I think, is that you've had enough consistent play out of Elfrid Payton and Aaron Gordon. Even at that point, here's something crazy.
I'm ready.
I would trade Elfrid Payton at the trade deadline, even if he's having a good year.
Yeah, I would too.
Because I don't trust it. Okay, I don't know. That's what I would do. Is if he's Elfrid Payton himself is into an asset. Same with Nikola, you know, Vucevic. I'm trading them. Like, if anything, whether they're at the same level they are now, or if they've raised their game at all, they will not be on the Magic after next year. That's my best case scenario. As well as I hope that Biombo and, you know, we can shed his salary somehow. And I do believe that's probably going to be associated with Hezonja. And the best scenario would be cap flexibility going into the best free agent offseason in like forever. And having an idea of who's on your team. Aaron Gordon's a good piece. Isaac definitely got tons of minutes at the five. You figure out that they can play together in mesh. You've created a culture bringing in a Flalo and Spates. You've got guys who want to be in Orlando. And then you've already moved Kyrie Irving into the building.
Got Simmons there.
Or just people who like to be there. You've created that culture. And then you can start pitching these free agents. They come in and you're going, hey, we need a face of the franchise. Come join us. We need you. And that's how I think the Magic are going to have success. And guess what? Next year's best case scenario does not even matter about wins and losses. That's the cool part about the Magic, honestly.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's just this year is honestly just that development. You know, like we've always said, it's the prove it time. You know, it's you know, who is going to be on this team in the future? And, you know, I agree with you. I know we're supposed to be like arguing, but I agree with you.
Dang it. Just be mad at me.
Sorry, Steve. I'm going to try to be angry right now. Just no. Okay. I can't do that right now. Sorry. Steve, dang it. You're an idiot.
I like the jazz, I guess. That's our one bad review on iTunes. So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know why that was weird, but anyways. Steve brings us a good perspective from the outside. Come on, guys.
I'd like to think so.
Anyways, but yeah, no, I agree with you that Elfrid Payton and Nikola Vucevic, like, I love them. Like, they are, like, loyal guys to the Magic. They're good, you know, seems like they're good locker room guys. I don't really know, but I just don't think in today's NBA those are the guys you want to build around with your core. So if they do build their value, yeah, then you
ship them on.
Yeah, you ship them off. So
even if they're at the same point they are right now, any degree, even if they're less, they're... Yeah. They're off the Magic. That's the best case scenario. And I'll tell you why. Because we need players in here who can play the new aged basketball. And that is positionless basketball with people who can shoot and play defense and can do a little bit of everything. And that's what the Magic really need to embrace. And I do think they will embrace that this coming season, but more so going into the next year. That the second year of Hammond-Weltman is going to be probably the most exciting years of their tenure, because that's really where you're going to see a lot of their own personal changes. Right now, we're kind of looking at Jonathan Isaac. And I think they brought Mo Spates and Aflalo in just to create that culture. But these aren't, yes, they're feel-good signings, whatever. But this isn't Hammond-Weltman team yet. But that second year is when you're really going to see what they're all about and what they're building here.
Yeah. And to kind of go off of what you said about Spates and about Aflalo, it has been a long time for the Magic to have a couple guys that are excited to be here and to like really like, you know, be honest about that. And, you know, seeing their interviews, like Spates can't wait to put a Magic jersey on, and that will be, he said, an emotional day for him.
My boy.
Yeah. Cause I mean, he grew up a Magic fan. I mean,
dude, he's
awesome.
I love Mo Spates. Yeah. I think that's a steal of a deal. I even think of Flalo. Yes, he kind of had somewhat of a down year in Sacramento, but I think he's a great... I mean, both of those are great signings, and
it's just good for the culture, I think. Yeah. It's good to have guys that are excited to be in Orlando instead
guys
of...
smiling coming into practice wearing
a
practice jersey.
I mean, it's going to bring a positive energy to the team, and it's going to, you know, I think, especially having the veterans being guys that are going to be happy where they are, they're going to be more willing to you know, kind of take the younger guys under their wing and say, hey, you got it good here. You know, this is how you want to work. You want to work your butts off for this team. You know, and, you know, I mean, I don't think you could have it any better way than having the vets, the guys that are like, you know, bringing the good vibes and the culture.
Yeah, and they both, I mean, definitely, you know, Spate's experience. He knows how to win.
Yeah.
He knows what it takes to win. So it's going to be good. That's all we got for tonight. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Again, do us a huge favor. There's some really neat things coming down the pipeline with our podcast. Definitely like, share, retweet, you know, leave us an iTunes review, let your grandma listen to it. I don't know. Do anything, you know, translate it into smoke signals, anything.
I love me a podcast and smoke signals.
But definitely help us get it out there. We appreciate you guys. We definitely do it for you guys. And definitely, you know, hit us up on Twitter. You can follow us at Orlando Magic PC, or you can follow my personal Twitter. It's at @ST_garlic, and garlic spelled GARLICK. And Andy, where can they follow you?
They can follow me on Twitter as well. And my handle is at Andy R. Harrington. So,
boom.
Yeah.
All right. Well, have a good one, and we'll see you next week.
Just see you guys.
Two guys, and we're having a good time. Having a good time. Having a good time. Just two guys, and we're having a good time. Having a good time.
And boom goes the dynamite.